going down. But I want to declare this morning that even when we thought that we had reached our peak and the best of our capacity, sometimes we think, oh, I've already done the best that I can. Now it's time for me to retire. Or, you know, I've already done the best that I can. It's not going to get any better now. It's just going to go down here now. I just need to step away. But I declare that in the name of Jesus, the best has yet to come upon our lives. That we have yet to see a greater things yet to come upon each of our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Even when you thought that, you know, your strength is going downhill, but you will find that God will put such a strength in us that you would do greater things than when you thought you were at your best. Because God has the best yet for us. Yeah, I really believe that this morning. So I want you to take that, because nobody should have a retiring mentality. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This morning is a new beginning. It's a new beginning. We got to let go of the old so we can embrace the new. And we have to let go of a lot of things and begin to allow God to help us to do it God's way rather than man's way. How we handle things and how we do things. I want to share maybe 3 points this morning. I just want to read the book of Matthew chapter 4 first, from verse 1 to verse 11. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. You've heard the prophetic word this morning?
Yes.
But have we yet captured the prophetic word? Do we believe the prophetic word? Do we receive it for our lives? Do we receive it for our nation? And the next part is God outwork in our lives, and we're going to see it on the ground.
Yeah.
I know that there are many people here, I mean, all across. We need this word. I believe it's a very, very timely word. It's a very important word for us. There's so many things. I really trust in God that this would really be our portion, because it's going to be so essential that the word of God outworks itself in the church first.
Yeah.
Before we can even talk about the rest of the nation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, we can't be talking about, oh, we're believing that God's going to heal families in the nations of Australia if God is not doing that in our own families in the church.
Yeah.
When the river of God flows, like, for those who, but you may know about Ezekiel chapter 47, there's a river that's flowing and it's going out to the sea and it's going to bring about healing. And when you look at that, it's really talking about a river that's just going to completely change the landscape of the entire region. It's going to cause fruits, fertile land, fruit season, and it's just going to be a good time of harvest. You know, is that right? So when we talk about this river, we're talking about the river of God that's flowing from the throne. But Jesus said that out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. So from the throne of God, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. That river will affect us first before it can affect the rest. I don't think you're... Are you capturing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The river has... If it's coming forth from us, it has to do something in us first before it's going to do anything else outside, because it's coming from this world.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say here is, like, I know and I believe this word, but this word needs to outwork in our own local context first before we can talk on a global context.
Yeah.
So the same Holy Spirit that's going to do this in our nation is the same Holy Spirit that's going to work in our personal lives, and it's the same Holy Spirit that will outwork this in the local house. Because judgment begins in the house of God first.
Yeah.
Alright? So I want you to take that, because the prophetic word that comes to us does not start by just saying, oh, it's going to happen in our nation. It happens in our hearts first.
Yeah.
It happens in our lives first. It happens in our local church first before we even talk about the rest of the nation.
Yeah.
But we have to, the word must be near us, in our mouth, and in our hearts. right? And we continue believing that, letting the word outwork itself within us, like Mary said, let it be done unto me according to your word. Alright, and when that began to take place, the word became flesh. So this is why I said this morning, when we hear the prophetic word, first we have to receive it before anything else. We have to receive it. But how do you receive it? How do you conceive the word? You know, our spirit must be sharp. Our spirit must be alert. We need to capture these things in our hearts. And so that's what I really hope that you're capturing what I'm saying this morning. Because sometimes we think, you know, especially with the way that we do things, we are excited, we raise our hands, and we say hallelujah, and oh hallelujah, and we shout, and we say yes Lord. And sometimes we think, oh, it's just the young people, you know, because they just got so much energy, and I'm, you know, not so much energetic, so I'll leave that for them, and this is not for me. You know, and I don't necessarily think that it's all about the volume that's coming forth, but the strength that's coming from within us. That's what really counts. But what's in us must learn how to express it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's not like we're just trying to be. We're just trying to build a culture. This is evangel. Let's make evangel look exciting. So we just do it because we just want to make it look like this, right? But you know, if we did that, it would be like what Jesus said to the church in Laodicea. You think you're alive. Oh, hang on. Is that the one? But you're dead. I think it's Sardis. Said to the church, you think you're alive, but you're dead. Okay, so we don't want that. So we don't want to look like, oh, we're alive, but in reality, we're not alive.
Yeah.
But it's something, life is really being. Everybody say, life is being.
Life is being.
When we live, I am a being. I'm a living being, which means I am. I'm living it, right? So to say that we have life is to have it in action, in motion. That's why the word in us must have that sort of living thing. And when the word in us responds, something happens inside of us. It's life coming forth. It's not hype. It's life. Yeah, wow, those words are rhyming this morning. So cool. Okay. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. So capture the word. I want to read Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Then,
are you there?
Verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Yeah, he answered, "What? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And the devil took him into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Verse 7. Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. I do apologize if I'm going all over the place. It's just that there's been so much that I've been receiving from the conference, so it's a bit all over. So, but angels, warring angels have come down, ministering in our midst. So I really want you to see that God is really fighting for us, and God is really doing mighty things for us, and that everything that we need in our lives, everything that we need to accomplish, every breakthrough that we need, everything that we need to overcome, God is giving us backup.
A lot of backup.
A lot of strength. God is fighting for us. In fact, God is going before us.
Amen.
To the land. Amen?
Yes.
I want to talk to you about three things this morning. And, for this whole year, I feel like God has been ministering to my own self and saying, you know, you got to move forward. You got to move to the new. You can't stay in the old, because as long as you stay in the old, you will be stuck in the same cycle. Because when you look at the scriptures in itself, there's an Old Testament and the New Testament, right? Now, it's not to say that we disregard the Old Testament, but the Old Testament there is there for a good reason, all right? And the Old Testament unlocks the New Testament,
yeah,
right? But as Christians, we cannot stay just within the Old Testament. We can't stay with the religious activities that they were doing, because the New Testament came to unfold the all to bring it to the reality, right? The Old Testament was just a type, but the New was the real substance. It was the real thing.
Yeah.
The Old Testament was a shadow, but the New is the real thing. Is the reality, is the person of Christ.
Yeah.
They had the type of Christ, but we have the reality of Christ in the New Testament. So in throughout the scriptures, we see how there's this contrast between old and new. Old and new. Old and new. And we also fail to realize that God is constantly moving. And sometimes we think we have it all, but we forgot God is one step further. And we're just still doing the same old things. That's why I believe it's a new beginning. And God is calling us to go up higher. Everybody say, let's go up higher.
Let's go up higher.
Because the Pharisees, they thought they had it all. They knew the scripture, they could quote the scriptures, they had everything. But yet they missed the whole thing. Now, when we were studying the book of Daniel, by studying the 70 weeks prophecy, hope you follow what I'm talking about, chapter 9, 70 weeks prophecy. The 70 weeks prophecy actually reveals and unfolds to us the first coming of Christ. If you actually use the date, four dates, like the actual dates and the timing, the accurate timing, it fits right where Jesus would manifest and be baptized and the revelation of Christ, the Messiah. But the thing is, the Pharisees, they had the Word of God, they had the Scriptures, but yet they missed it. When Jesus came, they didn't believe he was the Messiah. They completely missed it. And so in our study, we discovered that had the Jewish really searched the Scriptures, they would have known. Or if their eyes were open to see, they would have known that when Jesus came, he was the Messiah that they were waiting for. Because the Daniel prophecy of Daniel reveals that to us. But they missed it completely. In the same way, sometimes we can think like we have it all. We have the scriptures, we've been reading, we've been praying, and so we have a dimension, it's not wrong. We have a level of dimension, and we think we have it, but we can miss it completely. You know, I'm not saying that we should know the day and the time and the hour that Jesus returns, but I do believe that the church will be ready and not caught by surprise when that happens, because we've been searching the scriptures, and the spirit of revelation is upon the church.
Amen.
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 So we've got to move to the new, constantly move. If I don't move, I'll stay in the hole. I don't know about you this morning, but when you look at the story of, I'm just going all over the place, I'm sorry, but when you look at the story of the children in the wilderness, when they came out of Egypt, so they came out of slavery, is that right? Then they committed idolatry, they made their own God, right? And so God was very angry, and then God said they're not gonna, God gave them the promised land, and they said, oh no, we can't do it. 10 spies came back and said, oh no. But then only two said, yes we can, is that right? Do you remember the story? And then the 10, As a result of that, and all those who did not believe, God says this whole generation will not enter into the promised land. But the younger ones, the newer ones, would enter in. You know, I hope that we are those that are being born in the wilderness and that are entering the promised land. Not those who came out of Egypt and complained against God and died in the wilderness. Because the promised land was for them. It was for them. But they did not get in. Because why? Because of complaint. No, not for me. Let's go back. We have all kind of excuses. I mean, they had their own excuses, but we have our own excuses today. We have our own excuses today. But we are trusting God that God's going to take us beyond that. All right, back to Matthew here. Okay, so moving out from the old, entering into the new. There's the first thing that really needs to, when we talk about moving from the old to the new, is that the Word of God must come to us afresh in a powerful way. Right? If you want to write notes or whatever, but number one, it will be the Word of God must come to us powerfully in a fresh new way. Because verse 4 says this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, the Father. What the Father is speaking, man does not live by bread alone, but by that word. You know, we've been hearing so much about prophetic word that there's going to be a fast-flowing river in our church. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding is coming upon us. So that when we look at the Scriptures, we're not, like Galatians say, blah, blah. Right, but we'll be clear. We'll understand what God is actually saying. When we hear prophetic words like this, we actually know, yes, God is preparing a people on the ground. I can see it happen. I can see it happen. You know, I started to think, oh, what could the Easter parade be next year? You know, I started to vision. I was like, wow. When I started to see one, when we heard about and saw some of the video footages of the million people gathering in South Africa to pray together, which is impossible because of race, because of all these divisions that they have and all kinds of things, it doesn't happen. But it's a miracle that 1 million can just come together. What could God do here?
Amen.
You know, with all those promises that's coming from God, wow. So man does not live by bread alone, but by the word, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You know, the word of God will come to us powerfully and fresh daily. You know, even when you wake up in the morning, you wake up and you wake up with a word or a thought or something like that, because God is going to speak to you. God's going to speak to us in a powerful way. And sometimes, you know, maybe we thought in the past we have to try, God, I want to hear you, I want to hear you, I want to hear what you're saying. But I believe that there's a grace that's coming upon the church where it's just, you know, it's not us trying. It's not revealed by flesh and blood, but by your Father who is in heaven. So, I'm saying these things. I don't know what it means to you, but I hope that you capture this and say, yeah, this is mine. Because I want, you know, because I really believe that this is really real. Amen? So, Word of God is going to come to us. We're going to hear it in the morning when we wake up. When we speak to the Lord, Lord, you will answer back. But we're going to trust God. Amen?
Yeah.
Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Word of God will be in our mouth. The Word of God will come to us in a powerful way, not like before. That's why I've been emphasizing, when we hear the prophetic word, what is the word doing to you and to me? Is it not much? Turn to me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. That's why if we want to go from old to new, the Word of God is not just the Word of God to just give me some snacks in the afternoon, like some peanuts, you know, how the murugu. It's like, not like this. But the Word of God, let's read from verse 8, okay? So Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans chapter 10 verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, is in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich and to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now what I want you to see is in verse 8. So what does it say? The word is near Everybody say, the word is near you. In your mouth.
In your mouth.
In your heart.
In your heart.
One more time, the word is near you.
The word is near you.
The word is in your mouth.
And the word is in your heart.
So when we hear the word, it's near, but it's going to be in our mouth. It's going to be in our hearts. Because when it's in our mouth and it's in our hearts and we believe and we can make confession, then the Bible says we are saved. When something happens that, not only because what? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So the word of God is coming powerfully, but it must be near us, it must be in our mouth, and it must be in our hearts. When we start to do that more and more, we start to see things happening. Because then when you confess it, you know, there's one level. The level is this. Faith comes by hearing the word, is that right? So every time you hear the word of God, you have faith. But there's another thing that when it's in your mouth and in your heart and in you, and you declare it, something happens. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying here. When you hear the word of God, it brings faith. Right? So when we have a word of exhortation, a prophetic word, like we hear what we just heard this morning, it brings faith to our heart. Yes, this can happen.
Yeah.
But when we believe in our heart and it's in our mouth, and you confess, and the scripture says what? He becomes born again. He shall be saved. But when the word is in our mouth and we believe it in our hearts and it's near us, something is going to happen. That's why I said the word of God must come to us in a new way.
Yeah.
There's one way where you just get faith. But that faith must cause the word to be near, in, and in our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Because then, that's the reason why we declare the words, we believe the word. And that's why, you know, I mean, sometimes we say we just proclaim and declare. But when we don't believe it and we proclaim, declare, it's like empty words. Yeah. But when we believe and we take hold of the word and we declare it, it's something different altogether.
Yeah.
That's why the word of God is going to come to our church in a fresh new way, in a powerful new way. Where the word will be in, near us, in our hearts, and we in our hearts. And in our mouth. Amen?
Amen.
That's the reason why it's also important when we are praying. And so sometimes we see, you know, sometimes we fail to realize how much God speaks to us, because sometimes it's in the doing that God reveals more. Yeah. It's in the saying, as you open your mouth and you start to say words and you're like, oh, you know, it's not like you're praying, but it comes. But sometimes we don't do that. We say, oh, stay quiet, and we don't do much. But as we start to speak the words that we have in our hearts, we find that God gives you more.
Yeah.
And oftentimes this is what I find. You know, that's why when we pray strong. Because when you pray, you can hear yourself.
Yeah.
You cause faith. Yeah. You believe in your heart. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. So when you pray in the spirit, when you pray in tongues, it's the same thing. We don't whisper, but we speak strong. Not to scare the neighbor next door and cause the dog next door to be irritated and bark all the time.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the strength that's coming from inside. Because there's something powerful about our voice when we speak it. So the word of God is going to come powerfully. If we believe that we are speaking in another language, we're speaking in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that's giving us the utterance, or we say the word, and if these are words of the Holy Spirit and we are speaking it out, do you not think that we will bring faith to our hearts?
Yeah.
You know, I think it will bring faith to our hearts. It will. That's why the Bible says it edifies our spirit. It builds us up. Because when you speak in tongues, you don't speak to men, but you speak to God. Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen? So it edifies us. So I want you to encourage everyone, you know, when we go to prayer meeting, it's the time for us to exercise this.
Yeah.
If we want the Word of God to be in a fresh, new, powerful way, then this is what we need to do. It's not just waiting for the pastor to come here and share the word of God and, oh, hallelujah, this is the word of God. That's it. No, but the word of God is in you, is near you, is in your heart, is in your mouth. And we are becoming part and parcel of that word. And we are becoming the word and allowing the word to outwork itself in our lives.
Yeah.
We have to agree and we have to respond. We have to grab it. We have to believe it. We have to speak it.
Yeah.
And when that happens, the powerful word of God will come to us in a fresh new way.
Amen.
Amen. So it's not just another message, another this and another that. And I've heard this before and hallelujah and that's it. But it's going to be better, and better.
Yeah. Amen.
Everybody say better and better.
Better.
I'm really trusting God that more and more I'll be able to hear His voice even clearer and clearer, even just to ask questions. That's one of the things that was said to us. You know, if you're here this morning, you're sitting, you say, you know, you're thinking to yourself, you know, what is this guy talking about? What is this guy rambling about? But something we all need is a touch from the Father. Maybe you feel like God has been far away for a long time. Maybe you feel like it's been very cold, thorny, winter. But God wants to come to us in a powerful way, so that, like Peter, we receive that revelation from the Father. The Father is nearer to us than we think. So I want you to really sense that God the Father is here in our midst and wants to speak to us. There's a voice that's longing to say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That voice will be clear to you and to me as we spend time with Him, as we pray in the Spirit, as we ask Him questions, as we wake up in the morning and set our hearts, lift our hands unto Him and say, "Oh Lord," He will speak to each and every one of us.
Yes.
When we need a word of comfort, when we need a word, when we feel like we need some strength, and here God is right there and speaking to our hearts. So if you feel defeated this morning, know that God the Father is right here and He's longing to speak. He is speaking, but when you speak, lay hold of the Word, because the Word is coming in a fresh new way. And that way is not just how it's coming, but it's how we are responding, how we're taking it, and how we're putting it into our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that the Word of God is near us. Not just near us, it's in us, in our hearts, in our mouth. Father, I thank You that You're raising up men and women that will be sensitive to hear what You're saying.
Yes.
Believing the word of faith that we preach. And that word is becoming part of us, believing it, speaking it. This is how the word is going to be so powerful. Thank You that You're raising up men and women, hallelujah, in this place to rise up and speak, to rise up and preach, to rise up and pray, to rise up and speak into situations and speak into circumstances. Oh, I thank You right now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There'll be no fear. There'll be no intimidation. There'll be no sense of "I'm not qualified." But because the Word of God is true and powerful, more sharper than any two-edged sword, you know that even God's going to use, if God can use a donkey, then God can use each and every one of us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We thank You right now. We praise You. We thank You. Hallelujah. That the Word of God is going to be in our mouth. Father, we thank You that the Word of God goes forth and shall not return void.
Yes.
Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
I thank You that there's a word that's coming from the Father. I thank You that there's a grace upon each and every one of us to hear and to see what God is saying. What is God saying? What is God verbalizing? What is God saying concerning my life, my family? What is God saying concerning my area, my city, my region, and my nation? What is God saying about Australia? Because God is really getting ready to do something in our nation, but it first starts with us. The Word of God must hit us powerfully in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's why I see that right across, everywhere in this place, the Word of God will be in our mouth so powerfully that I see that there will be rising and there will be great proclamation, speaking and prophesying in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Speaking the Word of truth in the name of Jesus, without shame, without timidity, hallelujah, but with tenacity, hallelujah, with Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Yeah.
I thank You that You're raising up even children, young children, hallelujah,
yes,
that You would even use them to speak forth Your word.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Oh Lord, hallelujah. Let Your word come, let Your word come. Let the fast flowing of the word of God come, the river of God,
yes,
revelation, wisdom, and understanding in the name of Jesus. This is a new way in which we're going to move.
Yes.
Not in the old way.
Yes.
Not coming for a message. Not coming just for an encouragement. But the word of God that's going to bring change in our lives.
Yes.
The word of God that's going to break free every bondage.
Yes.
The word of God that's going to break us out of religion into real life.
Yes.
The word of God that's going to take us from death to life. In the name of Jesus, into unbelief to faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. To doubt to belief in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. From weakness to strength. From poverty to strength to riches in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. From sickness to disease in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Let's rise to our feet this morning.